My Neighbor, The Future, a Winterhawk fic written by Pandamoth and read by 42 Do Not Panic. At 19, Bucky fell in love with a stranger, all because of Steve. Steve, who had insisted on going to a stupid artsy college with no programs for Bucky. Steve, who despite this, made Bucky pick him up every Thursday, even though it was a 2-hour drive and Bucky still had classes on Friday, and also, political science was hard. Naturally, when a class let out early one day, something, something, pregnant wife in labor, blah, 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 he'd taken the opportunity to surprise Steve outside of his studio. The sweet gum tree branches weren't exactly ideal for hiding in, but I found a few nice, thick ones lower to the ground that seemed unlikely to drop at random and hunkered down. Bucky got comfortable, sneezing once or twice as the pollen floated around him and tried to move the spring foliage for a better view. He waited, sweat dripping down his back, nose running, and eyes itching. About the time he had decided to give up, thighs cramping from his crouch, the doors to the studio building opened and art kits in paint and clay and decoupage-splattered clothing began to pile out. Bucky grinned, watching, until the tallish blonde in a baseball cap came into view. Naturally, as Steve directly passed under him, Bucky dropped from the tree onto his back, shrieking like a bird. He knocked the cap off, cackling. Only, Steve didn't scream back. Instead, he froze for a moment, then shifted, some purple thing catching the light behind his ears as he flipped Bucky over his shoulder and slammed him into the ground, so hard Bucky could feel his brain slingshot around his skull and the breath being forced out of his lungs. He stared up into blue eyes. The wrong shade of blue, not freedom blue, but Jean Fate blue. What the hell? The guy's voice is all churned earth and gravel and slapping corn stalks, and he got this look on his face, confused, kicked puppy, like a large part of him is ready to attack, barred, snarling, and foaming at the mouth. Underneath it, though, there's a look that is kind of amused, or maybe could be amused if this turns out to be a game. Puppy look, Buck's headache. He's not sure he's making sense, and he needs to make sure this guy knows to lean into the amusement, not the biting. You and Steve, Bucky manages to choke out. Nope, I'm Clint. Yeah, you're prettier than Steve, Bucky decided. The guy frowns, and Bucky wants to change that. Wants to see what those lips look like upturned, and if his teeth are as bitey as they seem. He has the thought to use his fingers to force the corners of the mouth up, but he can't really make his arms move. Besides, why is he frowning? Puppies don't frown. I think you're concussed, buddy. Clint finally smiles, and it's sunshine and butterflies and everything Buck thought it might be, but also so much prettier. Bucky thinks the guy is going to say something else, but then Steve is there making demands and asking questions, and Bucky can't really remember anything else except this. I'm going to marry your friend Clint someday. Who the hell is Clint? Steve offers a hand to Bucky, who takes it and struggles his way up. He tries to point vaguely towards where Clint had just been standing, but the space is empty. He reaches and pats the short hair behind Steve's ear. Where'd it go? You're purple. Bucky swags forward and Steve catches him, brows furrowed in concern. And you're not as pretty? Steven, he had the bluest eyes. But they were blue, not your blue, and his voice... Yeah, Steve says, I think you're concussed. Clint, Bucky says dreamily. He kind of looks like a puppy, but hot. A hot puppy. He hums, then pauses. Oh, hot dogs. Let's get hot dogs. Puppies and hot dogs. He grimaces. Not in the same bun. Steve tucks him along, mumbling things about the student clinic and pain meds and rest, but all Bucky can picture are those faded blue eyes. 10 years later. Bucky wakes with a jerk, music thumping so loud his walls shake with it. He groans and throws his arm over his face before lifting himself up on the elbow to stare at his clock. He squints, the pale, sallow light from the streets lighting up the small round face. 3 a.m. Every fucking day this week, his new neighbor has woken him up by blasting shitty top 40s radio pop at an unbelievably inconvenient time of day. Morning, night, whatever. He's tried sleeping through it, tried burying his head in pillows, tried Tony's Ambien and peppermint tea and warm baths. The point is, he's tired and cranky, and he's reaching the point where dealing with it on his side of the wall hasn't worked. Time for drastic measures. He wrenches himself from the comfort of his sheet and shoves his feet into his sneakers and pushes his long hair out of his face. He storms out of his shitty apartment and stomps to the door left of his. Bucky raises his fist and pounds on it a few times. He waits, but the music volume doesn't change. He can feel the annoyance building up in him, in his sleep-addled brain, a terrible itch in an impossible-to-reach area. He kicks the door, and this guy has to be ignoring him. Bucky's no slouch, and he's not built small. There's no way this guy can't hear him banging on his door with his fist and his toes. Fucking asshole, he snarls. The itch grows, morphs, turns into a full-body annoyance. He bangs again, raises his fist, and beats the stupid wooden door with the side of his fist until it aches. Finally, he throws his whole body, shoulder first, into the door, gearing for the kind of fight he hasn't had since Steve was little and scrappy. Thank God for cheap, shitty apartments in Bed-Stuy. The door cracks, the side frame splintering slightly as he bursts through. He stumbles into the brightly lit living room. It looks a lot like his, only 1,000 times more cluttered with literal towers of pizza boxes and shoes and hoodies. Bucky rides himself, looking around. Of course his obnoxious new neighbor lives like this, probably in some obnoxious frat, or does weed, or just doesn't care about anything. He steps over a particularly crusty-looking hoodie, scanning for the owner. He doesn't see anyone. What he does see, however, is a very nice sound system currently blasting some angry girl pop shrieking about vampires. It's not a bad song, but it's also still too early. Bucky storms over and is fully intending on grabbing the cord, ripping it from the wall, and praying it breaks. Before he can lower it to something reasonable and human, there's a hand on his shoulder, yanking him back. Hard. Bucky slams onto the cramp-covered floor. All of the air gets knocked out of his lungs, leaving him with a painful awareness something may have been dislocated. He knows he needs to roll over, twist away from the looming figure, but he doesn't manage it before he gets a foot to the gut that makes him see stars. Bucky raises his hands, trying to block his face. Before he can even get his arms up, there's an arrow being pressed against the pulse point of his neck. Bucky isn't stupid. He freezes instantly. You're supposed to shoot that, you know? Bucky coughs out. He blinks the tears from his eyes, and then blinks again. He'd know those jean-fed blue eyes anywhere, even after only seeing them once, nearly a decade ago. Clint! He breathes out. Above him, Clint blows long strands of blonde hair out of his face. Who the fuck are you, and why are you in my apartment? Bucky winces. Of course Clint wouldn't remember him. He probably didn't spend too many years obsessed with a guy he saw once. Your music's too loud. Bucky growls. I gotta be at work and... He glances around, looking for a clock in this nightmare apartment. There's nothing, and he groans. I gotta be at work at 5:30. I have to be there every day but Sunday when I'm off. At 5:30. And every day around this time, you fucking blast the shitty music and I can't sleep. Clint blinks at him a few times, before slowly lowering the arrow away from Bucky's neck. He gets off him and stands above him, crossing his arms over his chest. Bucky leans up on his elbows, wincing as his shoulder and back scream. Clint tenses, and Bucky knows that stand, told Steve that stand years ago. Why didn't you just ask me to turn it down? Bucky frowns. I mean, I don't know your schedule, and you can't hear me knocking over the music. I tried coming by when I got off work. I tried to fucking leave a note on your door, although it probably got lost with a pizza delivery. He watches the blushes creep up from the collar of Clint's tank top, spreading across his shoulders and up his neck. My ears have usually run out of battery by this point. Breaking in is still a stupid choice. But Clint doesn't stop Bucky from getting to his feet. He watches as Bucky rotates his shoulder with a wince, unmoving and still posed for a fight. Bucky frowns. Sorry about the door, asshole. He turns to leave, but then glances over his shoulder. Turn the music up that loud again, and next time it'll be me pressing a sharp object to your neck. Clint gives him a smile, something small and sly and kind of terrifying. Sure thing, baby doll. Bucky thinks that it sounds more like a threat than anything, but he shakes it off as he leaves. Although, he does kick a few splinters of wood on his way out, just to be bitchy. Bucky is staring at the cash register, blinking as the buttons blur into one great, big gray mess. He had never managed to go back to sleep after his adventure, and now he's hit the weird 8 AM lull. He knows that in 15 minutes the next big rush will come through. But he's tired, and his shoulder aches, and honestly, he kinda fucking hates coffee. Katie rounds the corner from the stockroom and whistles at him. A 5-note nonsense call. Earth to Roebuck, you got a customer. Bucky scowls at her, and then swings his head back towards the blonde mom tapping her long red nails on the counter. Yeah. He half snarls. He hears Kate swallow a laugh in the back as the mom glares at him. Yeah, I want the Robin Hood, but can you make it frozen? Bucky blinks at her a few times, then turns and stares at the board. Yeah, no, he tells her. See, cause right there it says a drink marked with an asterisk can only be made the way they're listed. She huffs at him. Yeah, but Starbucks can make their drink pretty much anyway. Bucky scoffs. A, that's very much not true. B, the Robin Hood's literally just espresso, foam, and cinnamon and would probably be kind of gross frozen. And C, we aren't the fucking Starbucks! Her face turns 16 shades of red and purple as she splutters, and then she crosses her hands over her chest and lets out a big breath. Well, with service like this, she scoffs a few more times, struggling to find her words. I will not be back. Bucky shrugs. Tragic. She stamps out, sputtering and flapping her hands, and Bucky presses 3 fingers to his temple because he can feel a headache coming on. You probably shouldn't run off all of your customers, Kate says behind him. Bucky stiffens, because otherwise he's going to scream or shit himself. Or both. Make a menu that makes fucking sense, he tells her. No one knows what you mean by a Hercules or a Cupid, and making your Joan of Arc a milkshake isn't clever, it's just bitchy. Kate raises her eyebrow and then holds out 2 pastries to him. Belly or butt? Whichever has no jalapenos and sausage, Bucky grumbles. No one knows your random archery terminology. Kate just smiles and hems the pastry from her left hand and the bow and arrow stamped a little crookedly on it. See, that's just not true. Bucky pinches the bridge of his nose. Right, I forgot about your closing regular, but I bet even he can't figure out how you decide what name matches what ingredients. I'm just saying, Katie begins. No, Bucky warns her. He grabs the red and heads over to the one crooked wooden table and begins to aggressively wipe at the stained surface. Katie follows him, mouth full of pastry and chocolate and strawberry jam oozing from the corner of her mouth. I think you'd like Barton. Plus, if your neighbor sucks so bad that you can't sleep, why not try a later shift? Bucky doesn't really have a good argument for it. Honestly, it'd be less customers without the early morning shift rush, and he could still make it to his appointments. No. He tells her anyway. How about you go check what's burning in the back? Katie is about to argue, but then the smell of smoke wafts out and the alarm starts shrieking. How the hell do you do that? She huffs as she runs back. Bucky waggles his fingers after. Magic woo bullshit! What did you do? Tony demands, eyeing the gigantic thermos of coffee with suspicion. Bucky shrugs. He goes to tie his hair off his face with the band around his human wrist, and he knows how clumsy the arm is moving. Stiff and jarring, and Tony clocks it immediately. For fuck's sake, Bucky, I told you to stop using the shoulder as a battering ram. Tony grumbles, but he takes several very large swallows of coffee and then sets it down to grab his tools. Shut off, Tony says casually. Bucky rolls his eyes. Charmer, how about you shut up and fix your stupid toy? Used to work on Steve, Tony snaps. Bucky flinches away from him, and Tony closes his eyes and breathes in deeply. Sorry. Sorry. Tony says. Bucky shrugs and turns so Tony can evaluate the damage his door busting did on the prosthetic. Tony pokes and prods, and Bucky can hear things clinking back there. They sit in silence for several long minutes. How bad is it? Bucky finally asks. Hmm? Tony asks absently. He pauses and then remembers where he is. Oh yeah, not bad at all. Couple bent pieces, but I think the pain is muscular from jarring. I'll have Pepper schedule you a massage, order you some muscle relaxers. Sure, Bucky says. He lets Tony tinker in silence a little longer and then says, sorry, I'm just tired. No, you're an asshole, Tony says, but so am I. Bucky snorts. Guess that's why Steve liked us both. He feels the way Tony's hands tremble and then still. Yeah, guess so. Anyway, metal clings as Tua gets tossed onto the worktop. Please, for the love of God, stop using the very expensive free technology like a giant stick you found in the woods. What the fuck does that even mean? Bucky laughs. Tony spins him around and stares at him seriously. It means use your human shoulder when you want to bust things down or whatever it is you do. But it costs so much more to get that one fixed. Bucky grins at him. Tony throws his hand up, ranting and probably cussing at him in Italian because he knows Bucky still hasn't learned a single word other than ciao. Love you too, Tones, Bucky says as he pulls his shirt back on. And he stands still in the soft white light of Tony's workshop, staring at the sleek work tables and expensive tools and the millions and millions of parts scattered throughout. Hey, he says softly. How are you doing? For real? Tony stares at him for a long moment, and then he shrugs. I'd be better if you stopped swiping Ambien from me. Bucky rolls his eyes. No, but for real, I'm okay, or... Tony pauses, swallowing hard. As okay as you can be, Bucky guesses. Same. He grabs his things and turns to leave, swiping the half-empty bottle of Ambien he knows Tony left for him, despite the complaining. Hey, Tony calls after him. You know you can come around even without breaking my tack, right? Bucky smiles over his shoulder. You can come my way too, he smirks. Tony rolls his eyes. Pepper will call you about the massage. Bucky grins, rattles the Ambien, and slinks into the blunt, beige hallway, rotating the mechanical prosthetic as he goes. I don't think I'd have enjoyed you nearly as much when you were cut off and less generous, he admits. Technically, I'm still cut off, Tony snorts. I did all this myself. Bucky slinks into the coffee shop 3 minutes late, glaring blarily at Kate and her cheerful, too awake and perky face. Is Elena in town? Kate blinks at him and thrusts a cinnamon-scented coffee in his hands. How do you do it? Bucky smiles behind his coffee as he takes a long, slow sip. Magic woo-woo bullshit. He hums. But also, your shirt is inside out and you have lipstick behind your left ear. Kate grimaces, yanking the atrocious purple polo over her head. Bucky makes a show of covering his eyes with his hands. Kate, boundaries! What if I'm, like, a creepy perv or something? Please, she scoffs. If I'm gonna script in front of anyone, you're the safest bet. Barton is gayer than a pride flag, and I still think you're the safer bet. Bucky stands there, sipping his coffee as he tries to follow the tangled web of thoughts that led Kate to that conclusion, and then he shrugs. How long is Elena staying? Yeah, Kate says slowly. She heads to the counter and begins wiping away imaginary crumbs and straightening sugar packets and coffee stirrers. About that, so I'm swapping your shifts. Kate, Bucky pleads. Come on, please. Look, she says, pulling out espresso beans and filters and spices. It's like I'm doing you a favor. Now you can sleep around your musical neighbor's schedule without affecting your personality. Bucky grinds his teeth, because he hasn't actually told her about the altercation and how Clint has actually kept the music down lately. My personality is fine. Kate snorts intelligently as she begins arranging marks and starting coffee brewing. You need a personality adjustment. It was bad to begin with, but you've become even worse since your beauty sleep started getting ruined. So when's the shift change start? Bucky grumbled. Kate gets quiet. So quiet that Bucky glances up to make sure she didn't head back to the kitchen. Are you fucking serious? You could have texted me. Kate shrugged. She's also running late. Bucky throws his now empty cup at her, dinging her right between the eyebrows. I wonder whose fault that is. She laughs gleefully. He glares at her. I'm calling out for today's shift, so you better get Peter and Harley in. Kate groans behind him. All they do is fuck around and horseplay with each other. Bucky shrugs. That's her problem. I'm happy for you, he admits quietly. Long distance is hard. Katie snorts. Sure, that's why it took 5 years for her to stay. Bucky rolls his eyes, steals another muffin. He likes Kate and Yelena well enough, but if you're implying she's closed off or keeps herself at arm's length, I know for a fact you two have no secrets. He doesn't go home. Despite the freedom, despite how exhausted he truly is, he's awake now, and he's got Kate's extra strength brew flowing through him. He thinks about going to see Tony, thinks about going to the gym, even thinks about going grocery shopping at Hebby's Bodega. Instead, he wanders around until he finds his favorite dinky little diner that's also open at 8 o'clock in the morning. He walks in, the bell ringing above him, and Ed glances up from the counter and smiles at him. She pops her gum loudly. "Yelena, fuck up your gig at Kate's?" Buggy sneers. "Your sister is a shit stirrer." Natasha pops her gum again and grins wider. "I'll get you Pepsi." "I wish you guys sold Coke here," Buggy complains as he takes a stool. He picks out a metallic flake from the countertop. He needs someone to come in and replace all this. He tells her as a big chunk comes up. Natasha slaps his hand. "It would help if you didn't fucking pick at it every time you come in." She wears her hand down the length of the countertop as she sets his drink in front of him. "Notice how the spot you always sit in has the worst patch?" Bucky feels himself blush, but he quits picking at it. "Hey," he begins, "have you..." "No," Natasha interrupts him. "And don't ask me about it ever again. I'll fix the bar up someday, but Steve's art stays." Bucky goes back to picking at the counter. The sound of soft ballads playing from the radio accompanying the sound of scraping spatulas and sizzling grills and clinking ceramic. He sits there, spacing out in the ambience of Nat's diner, only coming back to reality when she sets a plate of near-burnt bacon, runny eggs, and raisin toast in front of him. "Your eating habits are still absolutely appealing," Natasha reprimands. "I didn't even order this," Becky complains, bacon half hanging from his mouth and yolky toast on its way after. Natasha watches him judgmentally anyway. "So, what are you going to do now that you're out of a job?" "I'm not out of a job," Becky corrects. "I have the afternoon shift now." Natasha blows a bubble with her gum until it's about as big as her face, and then she pops it. Somehow, she doesn't get a single bit on her face, but Bucky feels a little catch on his beard. "Yeah, okay." She slides a help-wanted flyer across the table. Bucky picks it up, bacon and toast crumbed in his mouth as he reads. "No." Ned smiles at him, something sharp and feral and vicious. "I already called Yelena and told her you were taking her barbic shift, and I know the manager at Crooked Arrows, and that means..." "It means Kate knows, and I'm out of job, bitch." Becky finishes his breakfast and chugs the rest of his Pepsi. Still, he leans forward and lets her leave a bright red lipstick stain on his cheek. "Love you too, asshole," she says, wrapping her arms tight around his neck. "Come by more often." Becky doesn't agree or disagree as he leaves, while shining behind him as he goes. Becky goes home and he's planning on being productive, following the mountain of clean laundry on the closet floor, sweeping, maybe even putting the clean dishes away instead of using his dishwasher like another cabinet. Instead, in the silence of the midday, he flops onto his bed and closes his eyes. He doesn't mean to, but he falls asleep in 3 heartbeats. The vibration wakes him up, and he takes a moment to figure out where he is and why the strange orange-pink glow of the sky through his blinds feels wrong. Bucky slaps his hand around until he makes contact with his phone. "What?" Bucky snaps into it. There's a pause on the other end, and Bucky can faintly make out some kind of pulsating bass. "Hey, Nat gave Barton this number?" The voice on the other end is low and grumbly and a little confused. "Okay." Bucky waits. So, there's more hesitation. A few voices in the background, and then a muffled response, like there's a conversation happening on the other end. "Yeah, hi." His voice is smooth as cotton and low as a carry-on church bell and frazzled. "Look, if you don't want the job, that's fine, but Natasha said you needed a job, and you had barback experience, and look, man..." There's another pause, some kind of chuffling and arguing. "We're short-staffed. I kinda desperately need you here now, so maybe quit tomorrow?" Bucky blinks at his phone and processes everything. He has no clue what Natasha has gotten him into, but this feels 7 kind of sketch, and if he didn't really desperately need the money and didn't intensely love Natasha, he'd probably walk away on vibes alone. But, sorry, she didn't let me know what time, or, you know, bother to tell me my first shift was tonight. In fact, she didn't even bother firing me until I walked in for my shift with her this morning. He stresses. "I can be there in..." He pulls the phone from his face and squints at it. 15 minutes? Unless you forget a dress code that's more than jeans and t-shirt." "Nope." Barton pops the P in a way that sounds high-strung. panicked. Sharp half dressed for all I care. There's a click, and then phone static, and Bucky blinks 12 times before he pries himself off his bed and stumbles into his shower. He spends 10 of his 15 minutes letting the warm water spray over his left shoulder, trying to massage out the kinks in it, and throw on a pair of black jeans and a grey long-sleeved Henley. He figures he can make it to the Crooked Arrow in 5 minutes, if he runs. You're late. Becky blinks at the skinny, pale guy with his slicked back, black hair that seems to glow under the neon purple lights. He rubs gum in a way that would be reminiscent of Natasha if it weren't so smarmy. It's fine, Loki. Barton rounds the corner, a box of whiskey held at chest height, stacked taller than a safe, considering he can't see over them. As he navigates around the patrons, he says, "He's here." Barton shoves the box into Bucky's arms as he grabs Loki by the shoulder and spins him back towards the pool area. "Please, dear God, go take the darts away from the drunk girls before someone loses an eye." Bucky is shoved towards the bar before he can really say anything. He turns, but all he catches is a flash of blonde hair and torn grey t-shirt and the broadest shoulders he's ever seen. "Just set those out of the way and... wait, you can mix drinks, right? Fuck, I can't remember if not..." Barton shouts as he walks back. "I can," Bucky interrupts. "Put myself through college behind a bar." He hefts the box up on his left shoulder and pushes his way through the crowd, letting his face do most of the pushing. Once he finds a safe corner for the box, Bucky settles into the familiar routine of pouring and shaking and serving alcohol. He barely has time to think, to question anything. But he does find a nifty laminated cheat sheet for the more ridiculously named drinks. An alarming number of them are some variation of purple, just like the lights. And Bucky resigns himself to trashing his shirt instead of trying to clean it. By the time the lights are flickering and the bar is emptying out, Bucky's shoulder is aching. He's sticky, and he's tired in a way that not even the coffee shop had left him. But he hasn't really seen Barton since the flurry of motion at the beginning. Which, he's not disappointed, exactly, but he wants to know what face was attached to those shoulders. Loki slacks up to the bar, somehow paler in the fluorescent glow with the darkest circle under his eyes and gum still popping. "Yeah, give me a bowstring." "Fucking archers," Bucky grumbles as he pours an ungodly amount of tequila into a tall glass. "Right," Loki takes the glass and downs it in several long swallows. "Barton said head to his office and he'll get the paperwork going to get you paid." Loki leans over and washes his glass for Bucky, deftly depositing it with the others in a well-practiced motion. He points a slender finger vaguely left. "See you tomorrow, I guess," then leaves in a strange, shimmery motion. Bucky blinks after him, then goes back to the dirty glasses. He'll find Barton in a few. 30 minutes, 3 broken glasses, and a drunk with a no bloody nose later, Bucky gets his chance to find the back office, which... "This looks like a broom closet," he announces judgmentfully. Barton lets out a shriek of impressive pitch and volume as he jumps and turns, papers and pens flying everywhere. Bucky is about to apologize when he recognizes those wide, jean-fade eyes. "You," he half snarls, then frowns, eyes narrowing. "Me?" He stares Bucky down a little longer. "Oh, me!" Bucky pinches the bridge of his nose and tries counting backwards from 50. "I'm going to fucking kill Natasha," he complains. "Yeah," Clint agrees. "I'm going to kill Kate and Yelena. Pretty sure they arranged this." Bucky debates all of his options, and then he spins on his heel and prepares to leave. "Wait!" Clint reaches forward and grabs him by the left shoulder. It's pure instinct, but Bucky spins, right-hand-fisted, and cracks him in the jaw. "For fuck's sake!" Clint moans. "What's with you and the violence?" "Don't you know not to grab people by surprise?" Bucky snaps, shaking out his bruised hand. Clint still has a hand on his left shoulder, using it to keep himself upright as he wipes blood from his lips. "Also," Bucky growls, pushing him off, "if I remember correctly, you are the one who held an arrow to my throat." "You busted my door and my jaw," Clint says genuinely. "Feel like it makes us even." Bucky opens his mouth, but he can't find a response, so he crosses his arms over his chest instead. "Hey, how come the music here sucks less than the shit at your apartment?" "Rude," Clint sighs. He scratches behind his left ear, and Bucky gets a flash of purple again. "My apartment bounces the vibrations better, so the music doesn't need to be as bass-heavy. Here, though, I need to be able to hear more than the music." He shrugs like that tells Bucky everything. "And it does explain it some, but..." still sucks. Clint frowns at him. It's a real frown, one that stretches his face all the way from his eyes down. Look, he said, I know your buddies with the girls, and I do need a bartender, but if you're going to be an asshole all the time, I'd rather be short-staffed. Bucky bites his tongue until he tastes copper. Sorry, not known for my friendliness. Clint watches him, and Bucky isn't sure what he sees, but Clint deflates. Look, whatever, show up on time, work hard. Payday every other Thursday. I'll slide the important forms under your door. You have Mondays and Wednesdays off, because that was Yelena's schedule, but we can change that if you need. He has an air about him that makes Bucky feel weirdly guilty, even though he's not sure what he did wrong. Aside from punching him in the jaw, maybe. Hurt, Bucky agrees. Clint stares at him for a moment longer, and for a second he looks like he's going to say something, then he turns away, ending the conversation. Bucky wavers for a heartbeat, then turns and leaves. He figures if he stays out of Clint's way, it'll probably work out better for both of them anyhow. So the face mashed the shoulders. The treasure smirks at Bucky. He curls his lips at her, snapping his teeth. Fuck you. Not your type. She sneers back. Which, that's not exactly a no. No, Bucky, eat your fucking toast. Bucky crams a large bite in his mouth and then says, you got a foul mouth on you. It's his third Wednesday off and he's settled into a routine on his days off. He shows up at the Red Room whenever he drags himself out of bed and complains about his job. He's always moving, like, the man can't stand in one place for longer than a second, you know? And his hands, holy hell, he is always spinning something or jugging something or petting something? Ned guesses. She waves at Darcy and points to a table with a family of four. I told you about the cats and dogs, Bucky. I warned you. It has to be some kind of violation to have that many strays loitering. Bucky grouses. He swallows large gulps of Pepsi and finishes off his bacon. When you're off, Natasha checks the clock on the wall. Now, come on. She peels off her apron as Bucky grabs his dishes and deposits them in a bin. Wednesdays, Bender's Groceries has the best deals, and he and Natasha stock up together. By the way, Yelena wants to know where you hid the yerba tea. Natasha tells him as they pick through citrus fruits. The what? Bucky sniffs the tangelo and picks another one. Yerba tea. Fancy shit, I guess. Natasha slaps his hand and hands him a different one. She hates your organization. Bucky shrugs. It's not really his problem anymore. And Kate wants to know when you're going to come visit. She misses you. Natasha hands him a pile of leafy green things and he sniffs them cautiously. Shouldn't have fired me. Bucky tells her as he drops the suspicious greens into his cart. Natasha pinches his chest hard enough to know it's going to bruise. She didn't fire you. Besides, you like the bar better anyway. Natasha chides him. Which he does. Drunks are better than PTA moms, and no one really wants him to chat with them. They want to chat at him, flirt with him, and then get their drinks and fuck off. Plus, you like staring at Clint. She doesn't bother looking at him as she compares brightly colored but unrecognizable vegetables. I don't... Natasha fixes him with a sharp look. You can only name one other person you work with, and that's because Loki orders a bowstring from you every evening. You show up twice a week just to tell me all the things you notice about Clint, and... She pauses, grabs a jar of garlic, and then says, you haven't bitched about the music at the bar or your apartment once since you started working there. I... Becky begins. Natasha walks him with a loaf of bread. He liked the job, and he liked Clint. Bucky frowns. Fuck you. Again, not your type. Truthfully, being on Clint's schedule has proven beneficial when it comes to sleeping habits. Clint still plays his music too loud, but Bucky's usually showering and eating, and by the time he's climbing into bed, it's at a reasonable volume. He has no business being that tall and broad, Bucky whines. Natasha grins at him, feral and sharp. Just fucking ask him out already. Bucky shakes his head. Clint hasn't really spoken to him since that first night. If he needs something, he uses one of the workers as a messenger. He disappears as soon as Bucky shows up, and he's locked in his office by the end of the night. I mean, we live next door to each other. He could walk home with me. It's weird that he follows 5 minutes behind. Natasha shrugs. You busted his door and punched him in the jaw. Bucky pokes dismally at a pack of shrimp that he already knows Natasha won't buy because it's frozen. So, what are you saying? Buy him flowers and chocolate? Send outside his door with a boombox? Don't be a dick. She hip-checks him out of the way and pounds at the fresh seafood behind the counter. Although, he does like chocolate. beer over flowers, though. That shit is twice as expensive as the frozen stuff, Bucky tells her unhelpfully. She ignores him as she orders multiple pounds of multiple kinds of sea creature. Bucky dutifully trails her around the store in silence for a while, helping her carry the bags to her tiny little sedan. What time are you coming around? He asks finally. 6, and I'm bringing Kate, Yelena, and Barton. Bucky opens his mouth, but she whips out of her spot and jerks through the parking lot. There really is no arguing with her. Buy the cheapest, most generic beer you can find and yellow wildflowers, she tells him as they split the groceries at his place. And wear the lilac handy I bought you. Yes, ma'am, Bucky sasses her, earning himself another brooding pinch. The lilac Henley fits perfectly, which means it's tighter than Bucky prefers. Stop preening, Tony chides from where he's lounged on Bucky's bed. Natasha already knows she's good. Bucky flicks him a middle finger. Hey, isn't that single? Tony asks suddenly. Bucky eyes him curiously. You finally ready to move on? He ducks away from the shoe thrown at him. Never, Tony says seriously. Bucky finally turns away from the mirror and sits beside him. Yeah, sorry. He sighs. Bad joke. They both flop back, heads side by side and legs dangling over the edge. Steve would have laughed, Tony says quietly. Bucky hums thoughtfully. Natasha's single, he says instead. Good. Ben has been asking for weeks now. They lay there together, listening to the clinking of Bucky's slow-spinning fan. For a while, Bucky lets his mind wander. Doesn't think about anything specific, just lets his brain create hazy images of the pier, of sweet gum trees and paint flags. Neon lights flash, and he's half asleep when Tony speaks again. Voice the same kind of slow that makes Bucky think he could nap too. Hey, remember when Steve vomited cotton candy all over the tilt-a-whirl? Bucky snorts. God, the colors were horrific. He feels the bed shift under him, and then Tony's face is pressed into his shoulder, an arm thrown over his chest. I miss him, Tony says quietly. Every moment of every day. Bucky nods, swallowing thickly. He's not sure why Tony is saying all of this, why he's saying it now. I want us to be happy, though. I want you to be happy. And right, there it is. I am, Bucky said. I have you and Nat. You're all I need. Tony scoffs into his shoulder. Bucky. Tony. They stay that way until they fall asleep, and Bucky dreams of Steve and rides and sweet treats. Only, when he wakes up to someone pounding on his door and Tony in his shower, he thinks the eyes were the wrong shade of blue. Bucky's kitchen smells delightful. He's not entirely sure what Natasha is making, but he pours her a glass of dry red and stays out of her way. Tony, on the other hand, has his hands in all of the pots and keeps trying to open the oven door. Natasha slaps his hand with a spatula. For fuck's sake, stop! You let all the heat out and it'll ruin everything! Tony scowls at her, but he goes and sits beside Bucky at the bar, pressing his cold beer to the back of his hand. Why are you even here? Natasha demands. Bucky interrupts what is definitely about to turn volatile. You have 3 people on your side. I needed 1 ally. Natasha frowns at him. We're all on your side, Bucky. Tony points his bottle towards her. She's right, you know. We all want you to bone down the tall, blonde Adonis and stop waxing poetic about him to us. She slaps him with a spatula again. But yes, that. Before Bucky can speak, though, there's more pounding on his door, and then it's swinging open as Yelena and Kate bounce in. There's suddenly a whole lot of high-pitched squealing and shrieking and rushing, bouncing back and forth as Kate and Yelena hug each other, Nat a fond observer. Kate and Yelena turn to draw her in, but she cuts them both a sharp look, and they settle for kissing her on either cheek. Tony and Bucky stare at each other hopelessly. And then there's another rap on the door, and Bucky spins, and Clint is standing there, sheepishly. He's got a crumpled box in his hands, and his shirt is inside out, and Bucky can't help but think he's the most beautiful thing ever. If you two are done staring, Yelena interrupts. She takes the box from Clint, opens it, and frowns. What's with the earplugs? Bucky snorts out a laugh and snatches the box from her. There are probably 1,000 bright purple earplugs in the box. Thanks. Want a beer? Tony has already grabbed one and is handing it to Clint, who casually kicks the door shut behind him and then manages to spill half his beer before it makes it to his lips. Bucky wants to lick the blush from the tips of his ears down below his collar. Dinner. Natasha sits right beside him with a smirk that tells him she knew exactly what he was thinking. Bucky can name exactly one dish during dinner, and it's the toasted French baguette he made Natasha buy because he likes it. But it's all good, and there's flowing conversation and laughter and alcohol, and Clint keeps picking the yellow wild flowers out of the beer bottle Bucky uses as a vase to wind them into flower crowns he stakes on the girls' heads. It's fun. It's relaxing. Bucky has never been more nervous in his life. By careful arrangement of the people he formerly considered his friends, Bucky ended up on the small bench crammed next to Clint, which left him hyper-aware of how tall and how broad Clint was, and how he kind of smelled faintly of sawdust and cinnamon, and that might be his new favorite smell. Bucky, Natasha suddenly interrupts his worrying. He blinks at her and finds that everyone is staring at him. What? Elena snorts and holds her hand out to Tony, who fishes out a 50. Really, Buck? What's happening? Bucky demands. He scoops seafood something into his bread and crams it into his mouth, glancing around. It's only then that he realizes that Clint isn't looking at him. Instead, Clint is 30 shades of red and is carefully creating some sort of structurally unsound bridge out of his vegetables. Bucky, Natasha says again, how'd you really mess up your shoulder yesterday? Bucky can feel the heat creeping up his shoulders, and he begins looking over his own food, trying to decide if he could build the Eiffel Tower out of shrimp and eel. He grumbles something under his breath. What's that? Kate asks gleefully. Bucky throws his hands up. I was distracted and rammed it into the bar top when I was coming up from wiping a spill. Took out a decent chunk of it, too, Clint mumbles, but there's a smile playing over his lips as he carefully lays some purple thing on top of his bridge. It collapses, sauce and all flying everywhere, but Clint just leans back and shrugs. So, you don't like counters in general, not just mine. Got it. Natasha says with a small smirk. What were you distracted by? This time it's Tony stirring things up. Don't worry about it. Bucky snaps. Clint turns towards him, eyebrows raised. So you're an ass to everyone, not just me. Everyone laughs, and Bucky knows his ears are burning red, but she shrugs anyway. I'm not an ass, I'm just... Shirley? Bitchy? Grumpy? Bucky throws his hands up. Oh, come on, this is my place. I can kick all of you out right now. But he swallows down a smile anyway, watching the way everyone laughs. It's a good night, even if he's the joke. He sniffs and sniffs again. Dessert's ready, he announces. No, it has. Natasha is caught off by the ringing of the timer. Kate, she and Elena all groan together. Magic. Clint sighs beside him. He does that at the bar, too. The amount of money I saved on wings and pizza. Bucky turns towards him, eyes wide. He didn't think Clint had noticed that one. Clint throws him a small smile, shoulder checks him gently. Gross, Tony announces. He pokes Natasha. Come on, let's get whatever you've made and more booze. Bucky, how big is your balcony? Bucky snorts. He points at the fire escape and says, that big. Tony sighs, and Bucky just knows he's about to offer to buy him a penthouse suite somewhere, so Buck adds, bigger than the first place we shared. He stands and begins helping the girls clear the table, smacking Clint when he reaches for plates. I've seen you cleaning up. Just sit there and don't touch anything. Two burning suns? The fuck is a burning sun? Bucky demands. Lucky shrugs, hands played helplessly. I have no idea, but they're too drunk to care, so make something red and yellow and serve. Bucky hates parties. Clint loves them, which is why Buck is stuck pouring orange juice and cherry juice and tequila into tall glasses as some frat boys sing off-key renditions of Taylor Swift. Where's Barton? Bucky demands the next time Loki swings by to grab drinks from him. Bucky hasn't seen him since he got here, which is a little odd. Not that Bucky expects the owner to be slinging glasses in the back with him, but... He went outside, said he heard something in the gutters. Bucky cusses under his breath, but he sticks to pouring drinks and wiping spills. He doesn't get a break for the rest of the night, and even Loki seems truly worn by the time it empties out. He waves off Bucky's offer for a bowstring and does his weird, shimmery walk out to the exit. Bucky lingers a while, cleaning glasses and making sure things are stocked, but Clint never does show. Bucky heads out the back, flicking the lights as he goes, absently kicking himself for even caring. He reins himself to the boring walk home, without the chatter of Clint behind him, only he gets 2 minutes on the way when he sees familiar purple Converse kicking against the street. What the fuck? There's a yelp, a clang, and then Clint is shimmying his way out of the storm drain, covered in scratches with a writhing mess of white fur. The mess nearly escapes as Clint grabs it by the scruff and tucks it into his elbow. How'd the party go? No more sororities or fraternities, Bucky tells him. But you did make 3 times the amount of that bachelorette last month. Bucky grins, and he's about to say something when the cat gets its claw into his chest and begins to climb, aiming for Clint's neck. Bucky reaches forward and carefully detaches it. The kitten begins purring and nuzzles into his beard when Bucky holds it close. He watches Clint frown and smiles smugly into the fur. I've been trying to feed and rescue that for days. But Clint looks happy as he reaches a finger and stows behind the cat's ear. He gets a hiss and a bite for his efforts. The cat crawls further into Bucky. I think she hates you, Bucky says helpfully. They begin walking back towards their apartment, Bucky stroking his finger through the cat's soft fur as Clint grumbles. Hey, are we allowed pets? Bucky questions as their building comes into view. No, but they never check, Clint assures him. Come on, I got some stuff I stocked up on for if I ever get snow dust out of the drain. Alpine, Bucky says. I'm not calling her snow dust, that's hella stupid. He thrusts her into Clint's arms. And she needs a bath. Alpine immediately begins hissing and growling, digging her claws into Clint's wrist. Why me? She already hates you, Bucky says smartly. Might as well make you the disciplined parent. So we're sharing custody? And Clint is joking, but there's a bright, hopeful shine in his eyes, and Bucky's heart does a weird flipping thing in his chest. Uh-huh, he says helpfully, covering up for his wayward heart. He holds the door open, and Clint gives him a smile so bright Bucky checks his watch to make sure the sun hasn't risen yet. Watermelon or Starburst? Clint demands. I couldn't pick between the soaps, so I got both. Bucky isn't super into the fruity smells, but he bursts, Starburst, and follows Clint past the store and into his apartment. He notices the way the door swings crooked and frowns. You haven't fixed that yet? It's on my list, Clint says as he grabs towels and bottles and kicks pizza boxes out of the way. You coming? Bucky nods because he has to see. Clint peels his shirt over his head and Bucky stumbles. And for half a second, he reconsiders his choices. But then Alpine spots him over Clint's shoulder, lets out an ungodly scream, and tries to climb towards him, and he laughs. This is going to be fun. Bucky wouldn't say things settle exactly, but his life finds a rhythm that he doesn't hate. His shifts go better now that he and Clint are speaking. It turns out they work well together, moving around each other with ease. Plus, watching Clint is an experience all in its own. You can't make that, Bucky laughs. Clint throws him a smirk, then turns around, and without even looking, he slings the dart over his shoulder. Bucky watches as it sails through the crowds, narrowly missing one guy and careening through a large golden hoop to hit the bullseye. Several patrons whip their heads around in a shock, and then a loud, raucous cheer erupts. Bucky laughs, light and easy, and Clint gives him his puppy dog smile that believes his size and skill. It makes his heart flip and flop, and he has to look away before he does something utterly stupid. Hey, Loki says, and Bucky jumps, but he's glad for the distraction. Yeah? Loki points towards the door where Natasha is standing in a short black dress, her red hair twisted elegantly. Bucky waves at Clint and points. Clint nods back, and Bucky makes his way through the crowds until he can wrap an arm around her. What are you doing here? He lets her go and pulls her towards the bar. She waits until he sets the cosmopolitan in front of her, then says, I'm getting the red room redone. Bucky whistles. About time. He's glad that he's not sitting in front of her because he's pretty sure she'd kick him. Anyway, she continues, taking a delicate sip of her drink. Do you want any of Steve's sketches? The glass Bucky was wiping slips from his hand and shatters on the floor. You're getting rid of them? Natasha takes another sip of her drink. They don't fit the new design. So you're erasing Steve. Bucky grips the bar top. He can feel himself shaking. No, Natasha says carefully. I'm repurposing the countertop and... He helped you start the Red Room. Without him, you wouldn't have... Bucky. Natasha says sharply. I'm not erasing Steve. And we're not even getting rid of all of his sketches. But I do need to limit how many go up this round. So, do you want any of them? Fuck you, Natasha. Bucky snaps. He stares out from behind the bar, and he's got no plan for where he's headed except out. Out eventually leads him towards the cemetery, and that's not where he wants to be. But he finds himself trailing through the pathways, fingers scraping along the stones as he counts silently. He doesn't go to Steve's headstone, but he stands at the end of the row and stares down the long path. The moon shifts through the sky until the sun begins to peek between the buildings, and Tony stands beside him. "Ned called me," Tony says as he hands Bucky a large cup of coffee. Bucky takes a sip, wincing at the burn of whiskey. "Did she tell you she's removing Steve's sketches?" "Yep," Tony says tightly. They continue to stare in silence, birds slowly singing the morning into existence. "Have you told Clint about Steve?" Tony asks out of nowhere. Bucky turns towards him. "No, I figured you guys would have given him some of the history." Tony shakes his head. "Barton is the girl's friend, and you know Natasha doesn't talk about Steve if she can help it." "Yeah," Bucky says, kicking the toe of his shoe into the dirt. "She just erases him." Tony gives him a sharp look, but Bucky refuses to be cowed. If anything, he's surprised that Tony isn't more upset about all of this. "You should tell Barton about Steve," Tony says gently, "if you ever want to get anywhere with him." "Who says I do?" Bucky snaps. "But seriously, Tony, why? I like what we have. We're friendly. We share custody of a cat. He doesn't need to know about Steve." Tony shrugs and finishes his coffee. He hands Bucky the empty cup. It begins heading towards the marble slab. "You coming?" Bucky shakes his head and watches Tony. "I'm gonna see Nat." "Any requests?" "The field." Tony answers back. "You okay?" Clint stands over Bucky's shoulder, watching him wipe the same martini glass for the fifth time. "Yep," Bucky says. "Right." Clint backs away slowly, plucking a pen from behind his ear and jotting notes on his clipboard. "What vodkas are low?" "All of them except the Witzkill, which we're out of." Clint cusses, makes several marks, and then asks, "How long have we been out of Witzkill?" Bucky glances up to where Loki is handing a drink to a guy in a shirt covered in peacocks. "About 2 minutes." Clint frowns at him, but he doesn't say anything as he keeps counting glasses and toppings and marking things down. Bucky pulls 3 more bowstring and eats half a jar of pickles in the meantime and watches people drink and dance. "What's with the archery thing between you and Kate?" Bucky asked. Clint hums at him, then glances up. "Got us both through hard times," and he smiles a little absently, winning some competition fun at the bar and the coffee shop. Bucky nods absently, reaching for another pickle until Clint slaps his hand. "Please stop eating all the garnishes," Clint says a little desperately. "You okay?" Bucky asks. Clint nods his head. "Yeah, just fine. I forgot to restock the last 3 weeks though, and now..." He waves his hands a bit desperately. Bucky grabs the flailing appendages and presses them to Clint's side. "It's fine, Clint. We'll go to the grocery store tomorrow and get enough to get us through." Clint stares at him for a moment and then nods. "Yeah, okay. Yes. It's just that normally Natasha helps me with restocks, but she's been distracted and..." "I'm sure," Bucky says with a sigh. "It's not a good month. For her, or Tony. Or him." "Yeah," Clint sighs. "She doesn't talk to me around this time of year." "It hasn't for 4 years," Bucky guesses. "Relax," he tells Clint. "We'll get through tonight and go shopping tomorrow. Everyone here is too drunk to notice if we're out of things or swapping things." Clint glances over Bucky's shoulders and then down to where Bucky still has him by the wrist. "Okay," he says helplessly. "Okay." Bucky releases him, turns him towards his office because he has a feeling Clint is going to be frazzled the rest of the night, and they do not have enough glasses for that. Besides, things are calm. They're fine. He can handle everything. Bucky wakes with a groan to a gentle rapping on his door. Last night sucked. Drunk guys got into a fight, and girls puked and cried on him, and 3 different people bitched because they didn't get olives. And he'd managed to spill bucket beer on himself while he was cleaning. Now, he just wants to sleep. Plus, he'd crashed before removing the prosthesis, and now his back and his shoulders ache, muscles constricting and tense, coiled too tight. "Bucky?" Clint's voice sounds unsure through his door. Bucky jolts upright, suddenly remembering his promise last night. "Fuck me," he groans. The knocking stops, and Bucky forces himself off his bed and he stumbles towards the door. He jerks it open and Clint springs down at him. Bucky is reminded that he is in possibly the worst pair of ratty, 2 small, hole-filled boxes he owns. "I can come back?" he says uncertainly. "No, come in." Buggy steps to the side and ushers them through. Kitchen. He points helpfully. I have a coffee maker, so help yourself. I just got a shower real quick. Clint nods awkwardly, and then gracefully slips to the side when Alpine appears out of nowhere to bite his ankles. Buggy snorts out a laugh and picks the hellbeast up and takes her with him to his room. He makes quick work of scrubbing himself down, sniffing because no matter what, he still feels like he can smell beer on him. Eventually, he gives up and throws on a towel as he heads back into his room. He stares at his prosthetic for a moment, then sighs, rubbing at his shoulder. He knows if he puts it on right now, he's going to need more than one of Tony's overpriced massages to undo the knots in his back. Instead, he throws on a gray t-shirt and some basketball shorts and shoves his feet into his sneakers. Clint has two mugs of coffee in his hand, and Buggy tracks the way his eyes immediately go to his empty sleeve and then drift towards his crotch, but Buggy wordlessly hands him a cup. Ready? Buggy asked, eyebrows raised when Clint doesn't lift his eyes from Bucky's pants. I have a list. Clint nods, voice slightly strangled and flush high on his cheeks. Waves a crumpled napkin at him. Buggy squints at him, but he doesn't comment. Instead, he follows behind, pulling the door with his foot as he goes. They take the subway three stops, and Buggy spends most of the ride drinking coffee and trying to wake up as Clint sways into him. By the time they're getting off, Buggy is feeling slightly more human. Clint is whistling. That's one of the first things that Buggy notices when the rattling hum of the train fades. Clint is whistling some off-kilter beat to a song that Buggy has never heard before in his life, but it's charming. He lets Clint guide them to a small little shop, someplace Bucky's never noticed before. Did you ever shop with Kate or Nat? Buggy asks. Clint scoffs. No, I value my life. Those girls ate like a box of off-brand crackers is a crime against humanity. Right? Buggy cries. Natasha never lets me buy the frozen shrimp scampi. It's such a minor sticking point, but he watches as Clint grabs the cheapest olives, the cheapest crackers, and the cheapest pickles. Is this why you have us wash the jars? Buggy suddenly realizes. Clint throws him a mischievous smile. The only thing I don't skimp out on is the liquor. I don't know if that's shady or genius. Bucky laughs. He grabs the thing of blueberry cheese and tosses it in with a shrug, and grabs some peppers to go along with it. Are we restocking the bar or your panty? Clint laughs at him. Multitasking. They wind through the shop, arguing over napkins and fruits, laughing the entire time. Bucky convinces Clint to get some aloe drinks to try, and Clint convinces Bucky to buy him plant-based goldfish. They swing by a liquor store, and Buggy lets Clint handle picking things out and arranging a drop-off, and then they're back in the subway, sharing the goldfish. I'll admit it, you're right. They're amazing. Buggy agrees, tossing a few in the air and catching them in his mouth. Right? Clint sighs, eating his by the handful. Bought them on accident once when I was hungover. All in all, as Buggy is carrying up one of the heavy tote bags, he thinks it's been a nice day. Hey, what are you doing for dinner? He asks as they're storing things at the bar. Clint pauses, one hand holding a jar of pickles. Probably beer and pizza. But he rolls his eyes. Put your stuff away and come with me. Nat said the Red Room is finished. Buggy has to admit the Red Room is stunning, with its dark woods and red velvet. He doesn't like it, the way she's made it more formal and less kitschy. He gets the decision, but as he picks at the solid wood of her new bar tops, he misses the old one. She has used sections of the old, decorative countertop to create panels in the wall above the bar, but it's not the same. It looks good, Nat, Clint says as he slides up next to Buggy. Natasha has set down a Pepsi and a Dr. Pepper, along with a basket of onion rings that Clint gleefully digs right into. Buggy waits until he has a mouthful of fried onion and honey mustard before he turns towards Natasha and holds his hands out. He frowns at him, but ducks under the counter and grabs a bundle of framed pictures to deposit in his hands. The first five of her Tony. I know he only asked for the field, but I found a few others I thought he'd like. Buggy nods, chucking them into the duffel bag he brought without looking at the rest. He turns, and Clint is about to ask a question, so he shoves an onion ring into his mouth and shakes his head. No questions from the peanut gallery, pal. Clint shrugs. Natasha frowns, but she drops a platter of other fried delicacies in front of them, along with a few hot dogs. You two have the palate of children. I know this, she judges, waving a hand over the spread, because this all comes from the kids' menu. Clint grins at her through a mouthful of sauce and fried food, and even Buggy has to grimace at that. Disgusting, he complains, even as he crams as much of a hot dog into his mouth as he can. Natasha wrinkles her nose at the both of them and moves on to serve other customers. Clint lets Bucky eat in mostly silence until they're smacking each other away from the last crumbs. So, am I ever going to find out about Steve? Like, can I meet him? I get the impression I can't, based on how you and Nat and Tony act. I mean, I think Kate would tell me if she had the details on Yelena. She doesn't really seem to know who he is. Bucky turns to glare at him, plucking a nugget from his fingers before he can eat it. Probably not. Don't ask about it. Kate tried, and I'm sure Nat told her enough that she stopped asking, and Yelena's never asked. Clint raises his hands, amicably shrugging, then waves Natasha down. No, she says. Clint frowns. I haven't even asked yet. Just give it to him, whatever it is. Bucky sighs. I have work tomorrow, and I still need to get some stuff from the bar. Bucky lets out a long groan. Just get it tomorrow. Bucky rolls his eyes, then turns a pleading eye on Natasha. Whatever it is, I'll pay double for it. She frowns and throws her hand up in the air. Whatever happened, he's your responsibility. Bucky frowns, unsure of what is about to happen. Natasha disappears and then comes back several minutes later with the largest, most insane ice cream monstrosity Bucky has ever witnessed. It has to have 9 different flavors. Nuts, several kinds of candies, bananas, chocolate sauce, caramel, strawberry drizzle, whipped cream, cherries, and about 16 other things Bucky can't even fathom. Natasha stares Bucky down as she pushes a root beer float towards Clint. I'm going to be sick, Bucky announces as he watches Clint pour the float over the ice cream chaos. Clint digs right in, offering a spoon to Bucky, who shakes his head, feeling his stomach turn. I'm going to go pay the bill, he announces, just so he doesn't have to watch what is happening. Clint rolls into work, 10 minutes late and still looking green. Bucky claps him on the back, hard, and smiles. Feeling better? Clint glowers at him, weakly. You could have waited on me. Bucky laughs as he pushes a drink towards a girl in a bright pink mini. No could do, boss. One of us needs to be here on time. Clint mumbles something that sounds suspiciously like profanities, then waves vaguely towards his office. Loki raises his brows as he passes by. Ice cream? Bucky nods. Spent the entire night curled up on my bathroom floor. Intimate, Loki says. Bucky opens his mouth to argue, but he gets distracted by screaming and glances over towards the dartboard. It doesn't look like anything crazy, but he still marks the group's tab, letting the other button know to go light on the future alcohol. By the time he's turned back, Loki has vanished somewhere into the crowds. The rest of the night is a blur of bad pop music, purple lights and drunks, and Bucky's shoulder aches by the end. He's rubbing at a sky tissue when Clint sides up beside him, handing him a tub of something that smells minty and medicinal. Bucky takes it, tries to work the cool gel into his muscles, but he can't really reach the tension. Let me, Clint says, tugging at Bucky's shirt. Bucky tilts his head slightly, letting Clint use his hand to rub the gel in, massaging the sore muscles and working the tension out. I'm pretty good at this, Bucky sighs, feeling light and floaty. Lots of practice. Clint admits. His fingers have stopped digging into the flesh and are mostly stroking over Bucky's shoulder now, but Bucky doesn't want him to stop. Archery? Clint's hands still, but he doesn't move them from Bucky's skin. And other things? Ah, Bucky says. He leans into Clint's hand, letting the tension wash over them. I know all about stories you don't want to share, he says gently. I won't ask. Clint takes his hand off Bucky and spins him. He looks at him for a long moment, and then he leans down, slowly enough for Bucky to push him away. Bucky doesn't, and Clint kisses him. Bucky had expected the kiss to be hard and fast and heavy, but Clint is soft, gentle, as he cups Bucky's face as their lips move together. Bucky increases the intensity, he bites at Clint's lips and begs for entrance. They only break apart when Loki slams a glance between them, brows raised. Kiss on your own time, boss. Bucky laughs at the way Clint frowns, gently pushing him away. I got this, Clint. Go finish up so you can walk me home. They settle into a routine of sorts, living in each other's pocket. Natasha hates shopping with them, and Kate loves it when they swing by the coffee shop. She said you guys tried to buy frozen spaghetti, Yelena says, laughing through tears. I do not remember the last time she was so horrified. Kate pushes a tray of hot chocolates on the table, dropping 3 bags of tiny marshmallows on it. I'm on the boys' side here, babe. She dumps a large handful of marshmallows into her mug, then plops another handful into her mouth. Pasta takes too long to cook and rarely turns out right. Yelena waves to dismiss his hand as she stirs the marshmallows into her drink, until it's thick and creamy. You rush too much. You're all impatient. Bucky shrugs. Honestly, I'm on Tasha's side. I just enjoy riling her up. All three of them turn to stare at him, and Bucky grins. Why cook when I could convince Nat to do it for me? Kate shakes her head. The implication that you can make spaghetti... Bucky rolls his eyes, carefully dotting out a reasonable number of white fluffs into his mug. The world may never know. Oh, Clint says gratefully. We are going to know. He whips his phone out and calls Nat, putting her on speaker. What? She demands, sound of the kitchen loud behind her. Some of us work for a living. Yes, Clint says. Some of us drink for a living. Point is, you're coming to dinner tomorrow. Bucky is cooking. There's a long stretch of silence, and Clint pokes his phone. I can't afford food poisoning, Barton, she says wearily. If it isn't good, Yelena says, Bucky will buy us all pizza and wings. Bucky groans. Why is this happening to me? I'm a good person. Good things should happen to me. You're hating Barton, Letitia says. Chaos is what you get. Clint and Bucky both begin to splutter, but all of the girls tut at them, judging them. Anyway, Natasha snaps over the phone, pausing to yell something in the background. Text me the details, I'll bring the salad. Bucky sticks his tongue out at the phone, then glances at the clock. Shit, Clint, we gotta go. Clint nods, shrugging his and Bucky's hot chocolate and hanging up. All right, girls, see you tomorrow. Bucky slaps Clint's hand with his own metal one. I swear if you touch one more thing, I'm banishing you. I was helping, Clint says around a mouthful of garlic-buttered French bread. Bucky glares at him, then pushes him into a seat. Drink a beer, set the table, leave the kitchen alone. Clint laughs at his back, lounging at Bucky's table with a bottle of beer and his phone playing some video of some social media site. He's been mocking Bucky ever since he showed up with a plant of fresh basil, but he has to admit that it smells good here, like Natasha levels of good. He's watched Bucky hand-make meatballs, grate garlic, and do all manner of things. He blanches tomato. Clint's half-surprised he doesn't start rolling out dough for his own pasta. Takes too long, Bucky admits. Plus, he waggles his metal fingers. Dough is trickier to clean out of the plates. Clint shrugs and goes back to watching. Bucky's not nearly as graceful as Natasha, sauce and peelings and spices littering everything in his kitchen. He's managed to flake spaghetti sauce high for up his backsplash. It's going to be a nightmare to clean. A rapid series of knocks suddenly sounds, and Bucky glances at the door. I got it, Clint tells him. He lets the girls and Tony in. Who invited you? Clint asks gleefully. No one, Tony admits, shoving a case of designer beer into his hands. But I heard Bucky was cooking, and I'd never miss that. Natasha turns towards him slowly. You knew he could cook? Well, Tony admits sheepishly. I can't. Steve can't. At first, we were all three too poor for takeout every night. Someone had to learn. Clint's ears perk up. But before he can ask, Natasha pinches him. Clint frowns, but lets it go. Come on, he might be almost ready if he hasn't set himself on fire first. It'll have been on purpose. Kate snorts. Yep, Clint agrees. But they shuffle towards the table, and Clint smiles because Bucky has a hefty pot of noodles in the center of the table, next to the bowl of meatballs, pot of sauce, and trays of bread. There's barely room on the table for their plates and drinks, but they squeeze in tight. Clint squashes next to Bucky, warm and comfortable. Tasha is the first one to load her plate, and everyone watches as she twirls noodles onto her fork and spears a meatball. She bites, chews, then smiles. Clint, she says, I might steal your bartender for my kitchen. After that, everyone piles their plates high and it's laughter and noise and the scribes of metal on ceramic. Bucky leans back at one point, one arm braced behind Clint as he watches everyone. For a moment, he's sad. Steve, ever the ghost haunting him, lingers at the edges, and Bucky desperately wants to tell him about how he found Clint, about how all the parts of his life fit together. Then Clint uses his fork like a catapult to launch a meatball towards Kate, but Yelena catches it instead. Bucky laughs and shakes his head. I'll confiscate forks if I have to. Don't mess up my house. He threatens. Don't. Natasha snorts. Clint isn't afraid to use his hands. Everyone laughs, loud and happy and free. The storm comes out of nowhere, a sudden torrent of rain and lightning and thunder that threatens to wash them from the map. Becky frowns out the windows of the Arrow. We should close up and go home, Clint. It's only going to get worse. The only staff left are the two of them anyway, and they haven't had a customer in 2 hours. It's fine, Clint waves. There are people out there who aren't watching the news or couldn't leave work. They're going to need a place to camp out. Becky sighs again, but he leans against the bar, sipping his Diet Coke. He knows that Clint is right, and he likes that Clint is willing to help out this way. But he has this feeling, low in his gut, that something bad is coming. Something terrible. He's had this feeling once before, and he didn't listen to it then. Something about blonde. He grumbles to himself. Hmm? Clint says as he brushes past, one hand scraping over Bucky's shoulders. Nothing, Bucky answers, watching the rain slam against the window, flashing with the changing of traffic lights. Nothing happens for a long time. They watch people rush past, dark umbrellas a blur in the torrent. The news flickers through, reporting on the worsening storm in between health updates and puff pieces. Clint gets bored and starts showing off with the darts, and Bucky lazily shoots pool, each one waiting for the door to open. Bucky has almost given up on anything happening, has taken to resting in the booth with his head pillowed on his forearms, when he hears the noise. He's not entirely sure what it is. There's a strange sort of silence, and a metal screeching, and someone screaming, and some kind of wailing. When he bolts up, he sees several cars have collided, one of them slammed right into the building being worked on across the street. Bucky sees a flash of something yellow, and without knowing how or why, he screams. The door to the Arrow is wide open, and Bucky bolts up, runs towards it. It's a mass of bent metal and leaking fluids, and Bucky can see the driver of a work truck helping some lady out of her car. What happened? He yells over the noise. A dog, the guy yells back. Out of nowhere, we tried to miss it, but the guy... In there, the lady sobs, pointing at the half-constructed building. Bucky's words slows, stops spinning. Rain splattered around him, his blood pounds in his ears. He's running before he can think about it, plowing forward. All he can see right now is blood, everywhere, even though he knows it's not real. Clint! He screams. Clint! Faintly, he can hear groaning and some whimpering. He moves toward it, head thumping in his chest. Clint? Here, comes the faint reply. Bucky moves toward it until he can find them. Clint is pinned under a beam, holding a whimpering, golden mass. Bucky freezes. Eyes caught on the splotches of blood on the beam. He looks around for the fire, but there's nothing. Bucky, Clint wheezes. Bucky, I'm okay, but the dog... Bucky takes a moment, breathes in deeply, turns off everything he's feeling. He moves, shifts the beam as best he can, mostly relying on his metal shoulder. Clint cries out, but Bucky doesn't stop. He reaches and grabs Clint's collar and gives it a tug, but he doesn't budge. Right, Clint says, wiggling and using his legs as best he can to push. Try now. Bucky does, tugging again as Clint pushes until he slides enough to shimmy away from the structure, the dog whimpering in his hands the entire time. As soon as they're clear, Bucky drops it. He turns and walks away until he's out of the structure, back on the road. Rain falls around him, and he vomits onto the street, over and over, until snot and bile and tears and rain blur into nothing. Clint gets everyone into his bar, and it's a miracle. Only minor scrapes and bruises, except the dog who has a sizable gash down his side, broken leg, and a nasty cut on his face. He won't keep that eye, the guy says, frowning. I can splint the leg and stitch the side, but as soon as this is over, you'll need to get him to a vet. Clint is nodding, stroking the dog's fur. He pauses, gets glasses for everyone, lets them pour their own drinks. Bucky waves him away, sitting by the door with his head in his hands. He's shaking. He hasn't stopped since he got out. Not even a shiver that comes from the lukewarm rain or the soaked clothes sticking to his skin. Buck's shaking begins in his marrow, a memory that's vibrating from the core of him. He keeps looking at Clint, and aside from some nasty bruising, Clint is okay. But Bucky can't shake this feeling, can't stop seeing him split wide open, blood oozing out with every beat of his heart. When the rain finally stops, they can get the road cleared, Bucky leaves. He doesn't say anything to Clint, doesn't call the girls or Tony. He goes home, and he locks his door, and he climbs into bed. Bucky can hear the pounding on his door, distantly, for the first 3 days. He ignores it, only leaves his bed to feed and water Alpine, who spends a lot of the time curled on his chest, purring. Tony uses his key to enter on the fourth day, and he bullies Bucky into a shower and a meal, and then he curls up beside him in the freshly made bed. "You need to talk to him, Buck." "I can't," Bucky whispers into Tony's chest. "I can't. How do I explain?" He chokes. "Everything." Tony doesn't have an answer. Bucky knows this. It's the ghost that haunts them, the nameless thing between them they can't verbalize. Tony stops speaking. He lays with Bucky until the sun sets, rises again, and after bullying another meal into Bucky, he leaves. Clint begins blasting music too loud, all of the song he knows Bucky hates. He tries. He lifts himself up a few times, compelled by the bleating Clint calls music, but each time, all he can see is the flash of lights, blood bubbling out of a pale mouth, staining blonde hair, blue eyes fading into nothing. He lies his head back down, and the pounding drowns the music out. A week into his bedrot, Natasha arrives. She yanks the sheet off him. "Up," she demands. "Go away," he sighs, the words pulled out of him. "Up." There's a vicious coldness to her voice that forces him to roll over. She looks tired, small and worn and pale, something he hasn't seen in... "You're worrying, Clint," she tells him, and Tony and Kate, even Yelena. "He shouldn't worry," he snaps. Natasha frowns, then carefully picks Alpine up. She holds him in the crook of her arms as she stares, and then she turns and leaves. Becky kind of hates her for taking the one bright, warm spot he has. But she's gone, and he can just reach the sheets she yanked and pull them back over his head. Natasha comes back a few hours later, just as Bucky is drifting off to sleep. She doesn't steal his sheets this time. Instead, she crawls under it with him and strokes the limp hair from his face. "Steve was the glue, you know," she whispers, warm breath fanning across his face. "You and Tony and me and Steve, a weird broken family, healed together by broken childhoods and Steve enthusiasm." "Steve's gone," Bucky snaps. "He has been for years now." "And our family has fractured," Natasha tells him. Bucky opens his mouth, and then he closes it. He tries to argue with her, but he's too tired to process what it means, much less refute it. "When I came here, as a kid, Tony and I, we made it work, together. We were all we had, despite his fancy house and his butler and his toys. But Tony and I, we were just surviving." Natasha goes quiet, and Bucky knows that look. Trapped in nightmares that defy words. When his parents disowned him, when all of the trappings of his parents' wealth was stripped away, we literally only had each other to rely on. "And then Tony met Steve," Bucky continues. "And they were magic together, and you and I rode along on the tails of their coats." But he's smiling, remembering their feral feuds, the way he and Natasha would snarl between their boys, worried about how they'd break. "And we made a family, and we're going to get married." "Everything was perfect," Bucky sighed. "Kate and Yelena would have... Nate... But I didn't find Yelena until after, and you didn't take the job with Kate until after. Nothing is ever truly perfect, because they all had plans. Bucky making policies, and Natasha in the red room, and Steve and Tony creating. I thought it was going to look like that night." Bucky finally admits her. "I had him grown, and I just knew. I knew I was going to pull him out and his heart was going to be there, exposed and raw," and he swallows down on a sob, chokes on it. "He doesn't know Steve's story, Bucky. It's never been mine to share, and Tony is nowhere near ready to even begin to address that loss. He might never want to discuss it or cope with it, and it's okay," she whispers. "It's okay for us, because I have Yelena and Tony has both of us, all of us. But Clint?" Bucky closes his eyes. The image of him pinned, warping, overlying with Steve crushed under the construction from that night. "This is all your fault," he calls. "Why'd you push us together?" Natasha doesn't answer, and Bucky knows she won't. It doesn't matter, anyway. Because the thing is, Clint belongs to the girls the way Steve used to belong to him, the way Tony does now. And he knows they love him, they support him, but he knows in the end they'll never forgive him if he hurts Clint. "How do I explain to him that I've lost the most important thing to me once, that I can't bear it again?" Bucky chokes out. Just like that, she tells him gently, and maybe rescue him from Alpine. That cat really hates him for some reason. That startles a laugh out of Bucky, a short, sharp one that turns into a full belly laugh. Clint sits across from him in the break room of Kate's coffee shop. Bucky had asked her if they could use it for privacy. She hadn't hesitated. Had even brought them drinks. A large cup of hot chocolate overflowing with marshmallows for Clint, and an equally large cup of coffee for himself. He picks up the ceramic, knees bounce, and head tucked low. Bucky keeps tapping his metal fingers against his reasonable-sized cup of tea. "Steve was my everything, you know," he says. He waves his hand in the air. Not romantically, gross. But we'd survived it all. Bad childhoods and dead parents and colleges and internships. Clint still isn't looking at him. He keeps bouncing his legs, picking at ceramic, occasionally scraping his fingers through the gooey, sticky mess of melting marshmallows. Ed moved away. Political aspirations or whatever. And he and Tony were establishing a whole empire here, all gooey with love and bringing with intelligence and creativity. Bucky swallows hard, and he looks at Clint, stares, willing him to look back. He's still surprised he even showed up today, but Clint won't look up, won't stop bouncing. It was supposed to be just a dumb stunt, you know? Relive some misspent youth while Tony was at a conference or whatever. Buck scrapes his nail along the scarred tabletop, catching it in a particularly deep groove where a knife or a fork must have nicked the surface. He scratches a few more times, takes a deep breath to steel himself. Steve was a sick kid, you know? Wasn't allowed outside much. Didn't get to run and play and be destructive the way kids are. But then there was that experimental therapy and Dr. Erskine, and he got better. He got more than better, and we got to do dumb shit, you know? Climb two tall mountains, jump from cliff edges. Clint finally looks at him, and Bucky isn't sure what's all he's pieced together, how many stories he's heard over the years to construct a picture of the elusive Steve and his tragic demise. Bucky swallows hard, takes a few swallows of tea. Stone was building something, some big building, and we were just fucking around, you know? Had cameras filming, you know? Just being stupid, fucking around. It was a stupid thing, but we did it all the time, you know? There's probably hundreds of hours of us fucking around at abandoned lots and woods and stuff somewhere on Tony's servers. Bucky pauses, thinking back. Shit, I mean, Tony had told us. He'd warned us. He'd said Stone was taking shortcuts, using cheap materials, but we didn't know. We didn't understand. Steve climbed way high. Bucky lifts his hand above his head. Way, way high, and he'd made jumps like that 100, 1,000 times before. One beam to the next. But the beam wasn't steady, and the building, Bucky is crying now, tears streaming down his face as he chokes on the words. I dropped a camera, but it still caught everything. There was so much blood, and I could see, and he was struggling to breathe, and the ambulance was slow, and he sobs now, full body-wracking things. They stay that way for a long time, and Bucky forces himself to admit the last piece. Tony convinced me, because we had the camera, the camera fell, so the pictures, the video is centered, or anything, but it's there. It's obvious. The sound went out for a bit, but you can still kind of hear me screaming. Only it's like, it's so much worse, because Steve is there, off-center, but taking up most of the screen, and he's trying to breathe, and there's this wailing, and but he chokes. He can't speak, can't explain how much it haunted him. Watching that play on a stupid roller TV in court, his broken screams overlying Steve's last breath. If Steve had said anything, it got lost in the blood and the noise. Clint comes to beside him, wrapping himself around Bucky as he hunches forward, arms bracing against the table. I thought that was you, Clint. I thought I was going to walk in there and you weren't going to be breathing, and I can't do that again. I can't lose the most important person in my life. He's vaguely aware of Clint mumbling things into his hair, of the way Clint squeezes him tight enough to make breathing even harder beneath his grief. He tries to apologize, tries to explain, but Clint keeps shushing him. Clint had walked him home. Natasha must have hired someone to clean the place, because it smells fresh, the sheets are new, and there's no piles of takeout rotting by the door. Bucky showers while Clint orders takeout, and when he settles onto his couch, dressed in comfy sweats and an old hoodie, Clint is there with sodas and egg rolls. "I'm sorry about Steve," Clint says. He said it with the foreboding weight of someone with more to say. Serious shit that Bucky isn't sure he's ready to hear. "I am. I know it sucks. But Bucky, baby, you can't disappear on me either. I can't." Clint chews an egg roll. Chews it like it's the only shield between him and the entire world. "We've all got shit in our past, Bucky. I wasn't born dead. Got that from my piece of shit dad. Shh, don't interrupt or I'll never get this out. And a brother, Barney. Wasn't much better than my dad, but he protected me. Kept me safe. Right up until it wasn't worth it anymore and he sold me out to the quickest payout." He lets out a dark chuckle. "Not even the highest bidder, just the quickest. But he was my brother, you know? So when I went to help him out and he ended up dead instead?" Clint shakes his head and sits quietly for a long time. "I had Nat with me, you know? She kept me upright. She's quiet. She's got her own shit. But she doesn't disappear. I'm used to people abandoning me. I won't stick around for it. So if you need to hide, if you got to go away for a bit, you fucking tell me. You don't leave me behind. Leave me out. Shit, Buck. You don't ghost me." Bucky nods, because he gets it. He sees how it could hurt Clint, how it could fuck him up to be walking Bucky home one day and then hearing nothing the next day. "I won't." They eat in silence for a long time, settled close, pressing shoulder to hip. It's nice and soft, and Bucky laughs suddenly. "Do you remember someone tackling you from a tree on a college campus?" he asks Clint. Clint snorts. "Oh my god, that was you! You thought I was Steve!" "I told Steve that day I was gonna marry you," Bucky admits, a blush dusting across his cheeks. "I don't think I knew how much I meant it, then." Clint turns towards him, full body facing him and eyes wide. "Bucky Barnes, are you proposing to me? Right now?" Bucky snorts. He hums. "Pre-proposing. It'll happen, though." Clint laughs, and he leans forward to kiss him, all salt and grease and fried eggy goodness. "Wait," Bucky interrupts. "Do I still have a job?" Clint snorts, licking Bucky's lip and following with a gentle nip. "We can sort that out tomorrow." 8 months later. The bar is crowded, packed to the brim and pulsing with music and strobe lights and too many gyrating bodies. Bucky laughs as he throws a bottle of tequila towards Loki, who spins, flourishes, pouring too much liquor into glitter-coated shot glasses. Kat and Yelena on stage, belting out some poppy power ballad at an ear-splitting decibel, and Tony encourages them by throwing $100 bills at them. Peter and Harley are hiding in a corner, hands down each other's pants, and Natasha is sitting at the bar, watching her sisters fondly. Somewhere, Clint is in the crowd, drunk of liquid Marianas and showing off the sparkling Tanzanite stone on the silver band. It's never going to be the same, exactly. Never going to feel totally right not having Steve here. But Bucky throws back a shot of whiskey, leans over the bar to point into the crowd. "That Maron is my neighbor," he tells the grunt girl sitting in front of him. "He's also my whole entire future." She comes at him, sappy and love-struck, but it's Natasha's soft smile that makes Bucky feel all flushed and fuzzy. He raises her glass to him, then in Clint's direction, and Bucky, he'll always drink to them.